Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grillin' mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the second week of December, and the holidays are upon us, and going to be doing a little bit of entertaining this time of year, maybe a little barbecue out back, because Mother Nature, while it's still a little bit cold out, but you know what? It's still good to get out in your backyard, fire up the grill or smoker, because if you're a real grilling guy, you do this stuff year-round. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks for joining us. Yeah, it is the weekend, so it must be the grilling guys. No matter where you're at, it's the grilling guys. You can check us out on thegrillingguys.com, and you can go to Facebook /thegrillingguys. Give us a like. We need more likes. We've only got two, so we'd like to have four or five.
Right, yeah.
And I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. There's a common thread here, Joppy.
Right. You are the grilling guy. I'm just the sidekick. Yeah. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
No, it's the grilling guys.
Plural.
Yeah. I'm just You just don't have a Twitter handle.
Yeah. If that baritone voice you just heard was Chaz from Schmo's Brewery is sitting in with us today. And
we call him the Crusher.
Right, yeah. Speak of the Crusher, what'd you bring, buddy?
Well, you know, Bob asked for one beer, and I said, you know, it's coming up on the holidays. Let's feature two beers.
Right.
So we're starting out today with Coconut Crusher. I like to tell people that it's a stout that reminds you of a Mounds bar. It's got toasted coconut that we put our Bone Crusher Stout on top of for two more weeks.
It's like a Mounds bar with dark chocolate instead of the sweet stuff.
And I'm not a big coconut guy, but this is not real coconut forward. No, it's just got a little hint of it.
No, it's like when you use coconut in grilling. It's an accessory.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Oh,
it's like coconut charcoal.
So is this in stores, Chaz, or is this...
Yeah, you're going to find this around town. You can always find it at the brewery.
Right.
But it's around West Michigan. Just ask for it at your local...
It's all across the state, isn't it?
Well, certain parts of the state, there's too many breweries, so we don't always fit in.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of breweries here in Michigan.
I know what it's like not to fit in. Don't feel bad.
I'm taking lessons from you.
Oh, man. Jeez. Okay. Downer. Anyway, Debbie, leave the studio. Debbie Downer. Chaz, tell me a little bit about when you mentioned the craft beer industry. You're getting a lot of breweries around the state. I know you're involved with your trade association, and you go to Lansing and you talk to people about this. It always interests me, the statistics that are going on in the craft beer industry. Give us an update, man.
Well, you know, in Michigan alone, we're over 300 licenses of manufacturing of beer. And that's quite a bit. I mean, we're probably number four now in the nation for number of breweries. Not everybody distributes. There's a lot of really great little brew pubs. I mean, over by Bob's house a couple weeks ago, I got to go to that Big Boiler. That was a nice place, and they don't distribute.
Okay.
They're making beer for their friends and neighbors and in their restaurant.
New Union?
I haven't been to New Union yet.
Oh, you're missing it.
Yep.
Well, you got to invite me over when you go.
I have.
So, but are the most of them the little neighborhood breweries, or are most of them distributing?
Most of them are the little neighborhood breweries. But in Michigan, our licenses and rules and laws and everything are a little bit different from everybody else. We really have two classifications. We have the brew pub, which is what Big Boiler is, where they can bring in other people's alcohol as well as sell their own, but they cannot sell outside of their building.
How about a place like Griffin Claw?
Now, Griffin Claw is a microbrewery, so they cannot bring in other people's alcohol.
And you're a microbrewery.
We're a microbrewery at Schmo's. We can't bring in anything that we don't make.
How about Dragon's Mead?
Dragon's Mead is also a microbrewery, but they're also a winery.
Have you been there?
Yes.
That's a crazy place.
So really, when you get started and file for your license, you have to decide whether you're going to make all the alcohol you're going to sell, or are you going to be able to buy from the outside. And if you're going to make all the alcohol, then you have the rights to distribute and put it out at
So if you're going to sell booze in other people's lines, then you can't distribute.
No, you can't distribute.
You're missing the point. It's all about the beer. Is if you're a brew pub, right, then you can bring other people's stuff in, but you can't distribute. Whereas if you're a microbrew, you can't bring anybody else's stuff in, but you can distribute, right?
Yeah, that's what I was just,
yeah, that's kind of the, that's the model of it. And so what we're finding is that a lot of places, even though they're a microbrewery, they don't really focus on distribution.
And that's okay.
That's
in my
great.
Opinion, because look at there's 50 states. There's 300 breweries plus. I bet you there's 350 now in Michigan because so many of them don't believe. You're going by the guild and all this stuff and mm-hmm. lights. There's so many of them that are just in the starting stages and whatever. God only knows how many there are. But state of California, what are there, 380 now?
I think they're over 400 now.
Over four. State of Oregon.
They're just at four.
Just at four. Oregon, if there's 400 in California, the little state of Oregon, 400. Okay, Oregon's got to be the beer capital of the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, my nephew, we had him on a show there from Olympia Provisions. Their restaurant does some of that too.
Oregon is spanky on beer. Washington State, Colorado. You look at just Michigan, those top five, and you've got 2,000 breweries.
Yeah, almost 3,000 breweries.
Yeah, wow.
But it's really unique that a lot of these small town breweries have made the decision that they can be a microbrewery with the legal ability to distribute, but it really doesn't fit their business model.
Right.
They make beer for their friends and neighbors and run a nice little mom-pop business, and they're making a good game of it.
You know, before Prohibition, that's the way it was everywhere. There was a brewery in every major marketplace. Petoskey.
Well, if you're in Kent County, it's like almost in every corner.
Right, but before Prohibition, if you went into a town like Petoskey, there was a brewery there.
Right.
Prohibition came along, wiped them all out, and I maintain that's how you ended up with the Millers and the Budweisers of the world, because when they lifted Prohibition, these large brewers swept across the country and bought out those little guys that were sitting there in mothballs or just built one because they had the capital. And that's how you got this huge monopoly on the business. The beautiful thing about the microbrewery business is you're busting that monopoly up. You don't have to buy Budweiser. You don't have to drink Miller.
Can't remember the last time I did.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
You know, I mean,
it's so sad.
Remember, Bob, we'll go back in history, but I was a Labatt Light guy. I was a Labatt Light guy, and I wouldn't have this craft beer. When we first started this show 8 years ago, I wouldn't craft beer, all that stuff.
Well,
terrible.
When I first met you like 8 or 9 years ago, I went in your basement, and you said you had some beer in your thing. And I said, you got any microbrews? And you go, oh, I don't know, those things are so bitter or whatever. And I opened up your fridge, and it was all full of Labatts.
Right. Exactly. I honestly haven't bought it in years.
You had a couple of somethings in there that somebody had left, and you go, yeah, somebody left those here. And it was a couple of great beers. And I'm like, oh, good. I don't have to drink a big brand beer.
But where I'm going is your palate can change. And if you're exposed to and have the opportunity to try a variety of beers, you'll find one of these microbrews that you like. I don't care what your taste buds are. And then they'll grow. And this Coconut Crusher, Chaz, I'm not a big coconut guy. It's one of my least favorite flavors, but this is really good.
That's really good.
You're a grill master. What would you put this with?
This one, I'm going to start out with grilling a dessert with this. You know, when we do some of those candied bacons, if you took this and you brushed it on bacon as you slow grilled it, just real easy so it candied up on it, you would have one of the most fabulous things you ever put in your mouth.
And you don't need to sex it up in the first segment like that.
Right.
Well, I got more.
It sets us up for a great show, Bob. Come on, man. Well, anyway, what we're going to do is from here on out, we're going to talk a little bit of brisket in this show. This is from our listeners. This is one of the hardest things it is to grill. So we're going to take a little bit of time and show you how to do it because it's a great holiday piece of meat. It goes a long ways. It's real special. So stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it, we love it, Al and Bob's Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Welcome back to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Hope you're out of bed, got your feet on the floor, and getting out in your backyard and firing up that grill or smoker. Ooh, might even be a good day for a deep fryer. A little brisk out. We're in December.
Oh, it's kind of brisk.
Yeah. But we're going to talk a little bit about brisket, Bob. This is a topic that you are far more knowledgeable than I am. I try. I think I do an average job with a brisket. Yours are really good. And to me,
well, that's very kind of you. I don't know that I've ever had one of your briskets, so I couldn't comment.
Well, that's right, because I'm not proud enough to put one in front of you yet.
You're getting there, though. Your skills on every level of grilling. Let's just say this, okay? Jop has blossomed in the grilling world in the last several years to a point of where he's like now telling me things and I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is a piece
here's what I really loved. You were telling me the secret to your beans.
Yeah.
I was just laughing. I'm like, oh my God, the kid has grown up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Used to be he had good beans. His beans ain't as good as mine no more. Yeah.
But well, Bob, tell us about your favorite trim.
Yeah.
Well, trimming's important. You know, I years ago I used to fly airplanes, and trim was really important when you're flying an airplane.
Yeah,
because you'd have to trim your ailerons, trim your rudders, and you know, trim's a big deal. It's there for a reason. Trimming in anything gets you closer to where you need to be.
Right.
And with a brisket, it's a big deal because that thing comes with a lot of extra fat on it. And I can speak to fat because I've got some around my belly I'm still trying to trim.
Mm-hmm.
And if you barbecue properly, you'll trim your fat personally too, because barbecue is a very healthy food for you. It reduces the fats and it gives you a more solid protein. So what we like about smoking foods, which is barbecue, is really smoking. Contrary to your friends in Australia or California or whoever says they're going to barbecue and then they pull their grill out, barbecue is smoking. So if you don't have a smoker, go out and get one. And if you don't know where to get one, just send us a message, because we got friends all over the place that sell great smokers.
Yeah, and I bet next week one of our topics will be equipment for Christmas. And
there you go.
So we'll be covering that. Those. But anyway, back to the brisket.
So trimming a brisket. Yes, thank you. So here's the big deal. Briskets come with tons of fat. And the boys down in Texas, and in the next segment, my old buddy Danny Skiff, Rob Russell, Tony Courthouse, all us guys that are on the show, all used to peddle smokers together. And we used to travel the country teaching people how to do barbecue and how to sell smokers, right?
Right.
Well, Danny Skiff's going to tell us the Texas method. And then Texas, I'll tell you in advance, they don't trim them a whole lot. They throw it on the grill. They throw it on open coals. Well, I'm not a fan of that. I like trimming a brisket and throwing it in a smoker. And even old Danny's come around. He's teaching the boys in Texas the Kansas City or Memphis method of indirect smoke a little bit more.
So you'll go to the butcher shop, and you'll see briskets for $4.49 to $5.49 a pound, but they're trimmed, okay? You'll go to other butcher shops, and you'll see them for $2.49 a pound, and the fat's on them.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you about that.
Right, and the thing is you're going to end up with the same amount of meat.
Right.
Do you want the butcher to do the work, or do you want to do the work?
You can go to a place I rarely go to, but I won't even say the name of it now, but it's a restaurant supply store, and you can buy their briskets, and they're $2.99 a pound. You're going to cut half that stinking brisket apart, getting the fat off it, because it's half fat.
Right.
When they say reduce your yield by half, well, you're going to reduce it more because you're going to carve half of it off it before you even throw it on the smoker, let alone the reduction from the heat and breaking down the tissue and all the stuff that barbecue does to it.
So, but, Bob, where do you trim?
Well, for a brisket, it depends on where you're getting it from and what has not been trimmed yet. So,
two or three things come to mind, though.
Okay.
Right? The difference between the flat and the deckle, there's a big fat vein in there, thick. I mean, like 2-3 inches thick. I've watched you trim these. I've trimmed them with you. And there's that big vein in there, right?
Between the point and the flat,
right,
there is a big mass of collagen and fat.
Yep.
And a lot of the competition guys now are trimming the entire piece out and literally separating the decal from the flat. So
decal and point are the same thing.
Yep. The decal is it's the money meat and my favorite piece. But there's a huge amount of collagen in there and a great big bank of fat on the edge. So when you look at the thing on the side, if you say the flat is to your right and the point is to your left.
Point being the thicker part, flat the being thinner.
Point being the pointed end, and it's real thick on that end. And then as it goes to the right, there's a flat piece. That point and that decal is the top cap, and it's going to kind of arc down. And in between those two, there's a great big vein of fat. There's fat in the front as you look at it, and then as you dig into it, you'll see a bunch of connective tissue and collagen, which is the same thing you trim off of a flat iron if you're making a proper flat iron, right? And it's kind of fun to eat. It's pretty chewy and pretty fatty, but some people like chewing on that kind of thing. I don't personally care for it.
How much of it do you cut out?
Well, that's just the point. It's to your discretion. I personally don't mind separating them at all. Matter of fact, back in the day, back when Rob Russell and I used to travel around doing this barbecue
good old
stuff,
days.
Yep, I would trim a brisket to the point where the decal would fall off the flat, and he'd have a fit. And it's like, but there's so much fat on there, I'm just trying to get it off. Well, here's the deal. In my world, that's the perfect scenario because now you have two equal pieces of protein instead of one thick instead of one thick piece on one end and a little flat on the other end. So you can do several different options on it. If you want to separate them, go ahead and separate them. Just trim all that stuff off. Or if you want, you can just cut the flat off of it and smoke that separately because it's going to cook quickly.
Quicker.
Yeah.
Than the point. Yeah.
Quicker. Thank you. I'm almost out of coconut stout here, Chaz. So,
But I'll inject in while Bob gets another coconut stout. I'll inject in that fat is flavor. I'm not a big fan of taking it all off of there because it does impart some flavor. And when you cut it, we'll get to that in a minute when it's done and how to serve it. But you want a little bit of fat layer on there.
What are you talking, 5%, 10%, 25%?
Yeah, not 25, but 10%. Yeah, because it is a heavily fatted chunk of meat. and it's very dense, and you want to get most of it out of there, but I'm not the guy that wants to take it all off, and maybe that's why your brisket's better than mine.
Well, no, I'm not going to say that, and that's very kind of you. You keep hoisting compliments. You don't have to do that, really, because you
okay, I'm sure. We're hoisting beers.
Yes, and that's a really good one to hoist there. But, when I used to trim those with Rob, and I'd trim them to the point to where that deckle was flapping and hanging on by two strands, he'd have a conniption because I was doing it. I was going overboard in his book. But in my mind, I wanted to get as much of that center fat and collagen out of there as I could. But what happens when you do that is you disconnect the deckle from the flat. Well, guess what? Competition guys now are doing that. They're disconnecting the deckle from the flat. They're smoking them separately, and then they're marrying them back up for the presentation. And I'm okay with that because those judges, when they get that nice piece of brisket, they don't want a giant vein of fat in the center. Nobody really wants to eat that big blob of fat in the middle. Lots
now,
of people
you
say fat's gonna, flavor.
When you say they're marrying it back up, are they just resting it on top of there before they slice it?
Yep. They're putting it in. They're smoking them to like 155, and they're wrapping them. And I think what
in
some
foil?
They're all doing them differently, but
or butcher paper
or whatever. Right. But they're all doing different methods. But one way to do it would be to put it back together for your final wrap, and do that final cook together so they somewhat meld together again. So when you're slicing them, you still have something that looks like a contiguous piece of brisket.
Yeah,
but I'm a brisket freak. I love talking about brisket. I'm sorry, this might be
it's
2 miles deep, but it's a meat that everybody loves, and
I like my plate about 2 miles deep when brisket comes out and then
too.
Pop a beer.
Here's a truism: I have literally choked on brisket because I eat it so dang fast.
Coming up next, our buddy Danny Skiff is going to give us some smoking methods on brisket. Stick with us. We'll be back.
She's a hot little number in her pickup truck. Daddy sweet money done jacked it up. She's a party all nighter from South Carolina. A bad mama jammer from down in Alabama. She's a raging Cajun lunatic from Brunswick. Juicy Georgia peach.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we're talking a little brisket. Man, if you've not cooked a brisket, I tell you what, it's one of the tougher things to do, but you got Barbecue Bob on your side because he does this really well. People rant and rave over his brisket. And he used to do this on the road with a guy that we're going to talk to right now on the Grilling Guy line.
Brisket's a long cook, so I think we need another beer. So I brought you some Miracle.
Right off 28th Street.
Miracle off 28th Street, because that's a one you got to drink a little bit slower. So I think that'll get us through this interview.
Yeah, well, Bob, you take it from here, brother, and I'll just partake with
Chaz. I got to fill up my miracle cup first.
All right. Danny, you there, man?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks for putting up with us because we're just getting set up so we can talk to you.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
Just out here working.
Well, we're talking to my old pal Danny Skiff. He's down in what part of Texas are you in right now?
I am in Carrizo Springs in far south Texas.
Okay.
When you say far south, is that Houston far south or San Antonio?
Southwest.
Yeah, it's about 130 miles southwest of San Antonio down along the Rio Grande.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Rio Grande.
Yeah.
So you're working with ICE agents today or?
No, just looking for oil.
Danny's got his witching stick out there. He's looking for oil.
Yeah.
Danny Skiff is an old pal of mine from back in the we were smoker peddlers. Danny also was a hot tub peddler like me, so we have an awful lot in common like that. But I'll tell you right now, this guy is just a good guy. He's the kind of guy you can work a show with. You can hang out with, and everybody loves Danny. He's like Raymond.
Right. So, Danny, tell us a little. Yes. Bob, let's get into the brisket, man. Let's get to the money.
Let's talk about Texas brisket.
All right. Texas brisket is usually cooked over oak. Oak and pecan is usually the mix on there. A few people do it with mesquite. I'm not a fan of that for that long of a smoke. You can get
bitterness
from it. Maybe something short. Maybe use mesquite on something that you're going to grill. But
shrimp
for smoking, yep, that works good. For smoking briskets, oak or pecan. I've also used cherry with good result. It works pretty well for brisket. Typically, it's seasoned with salt and pepper. That's the old Texas way to do it. A lot of people put a little garlic in there as well. Cook it low and slow. Usually around an hour a pound. So you got a 12-pound brisket, figure on 12 hours at about 225, 235, somewhere in that range.
Okay, Texas style, brother. Texas style. They don't trim that a lick, do they?
I trim some of the hard fat between the point and the flat, but I leave most of the fat cap intact.
But your typical Texas guy, tell us what he's doing with a brisket. Old school Texas brisket.
Old school, throw it over the fire. Let it sit there for a long time. Minimal seasoning. You hear of the Texas crutch reference for wrapping it in foil. I actually don't know anybody that does that.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you let it go, let it build a great bark, slice it across the grain, and enjoy it.
And they do fat up too, don't they?
It's probably about 50-50.
Okay.
A lot of people do fat up because that's the way their grandpa taught them and stuff.
Right.
I'm not sure it really makes any difference. I actually cook fat down most of the time.
Me too. But a lot of direct coal barbecue.
Yes. Yeah, they'll have like a big fire pit with a pretty good distance from the fire up to the grate and then a cover over it. But a lot of it, the coals are directly below the meat.
You don't get flame ups as it renders?
Not with the lid closed.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yep, that would make sense, because you're not getting the air inflection there, right?
You can't swear
on
the radio.
I didn't.
Yep.
So talk about how Danny Skiff does a brisket.
So I trim a little of the fat out of the from between the point and the flat. I'll trim any kind of ugly edges off the fat also, but try
from
to leave
the cryovac
cap on there.
Yep.
Right. I will look at the direction the grain is running and usually cut one little small corner off the flat so it is perpendicular to the grain so I can use that as a guide when I start slicing it.
Okay, that's a great point. That's a great point, speaking of points.
You cut that point off.
Yeah. So tell us exactly what you're talking about, because this is a great little tip for that guy that's doing his first brisket and has to trim it in front of his in-laws.
Right. Well, it's very important to cut it across the grain. You can cook a great brisket, cut it along with the grain, and it's kind of stringy. It's not what the texture people are looking for. So you want to cut it perpendicular to the grain. So,
and you're talking about the flat portion of it, right?
Yes. Yeah, you can lay the brisket down there and look at the flat, and one of the two corners of the flat is going to have the grain kind of running down to that corner. And so you're going to cut that little corner off where it's perpendicular to the grain, and you'll slice the flat on that line all the way across, and it will give you a good cut across the grain.
So but what? So what he's talking about?
Especially once you got the bark on it, you'll never be able to see the grain, so you do that ahead of time.
That's it. So what he's talking about is when you lay that brisket out and you lay it fat side down and you're looking at all that muscle, all that protein up there, you'll see the strands and the grain of the meat is going in a certain direction, and it's all pointing out towards the end of that flat. And if you look at it, if all those lines are going to one tip, if you cut that tip off at a 45, when that brisket is smoked and finished, all you have to do is find that 45, and that's in the direction of that your knife's going to go in when you start trimming that thing up, and then you'll be cutting against the bias.
Exactly. Then you get nice slices that bite through nice. So I put it in the smoker, go pretty heavy with the wood at first. I usually try to keep my temperature around 235 degrees, somewhere in that area. I'll estimate an hour a pound, so typical brisket, 13 pounds or so. I'll just leave it alone. I really don't even check my temperature for 8 hours or so on it. Then I'll look in there, stick the thermometer probe in, see what my temperature is. And what I'm looking for my briskets is to get past 175. Once I'm past 175, I've usually got beautiful bark on it. And these days I wrap it at that point with butcher paper, pink butcher paper.
175 and then butcher paper.
Yes. So I'm not trying to wrap it to rush it through the stall or anything. Just be patient. Let it get through the stall. Let
okay.
It build up that
mark. He's saying through the stall. Explain the stall.
All right. There's a lot of connective tissue in a brisket, just like in a pork butt. And that takes a while to break down. And when you're cooking low and slow, you'll hit a point, usually somewhere around 150 to 160 degrees, where your temperature will stop going up. You know, you might get to 155 degrees in 2 hours, and then it takes 3 hours to get from 155 to 165.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get frustrated. That's when they wrap it in foil or crank up the heat and try to rush it. Best to just sit back, relax,
yeah.
Let it go.
Have a beer. I always find that it stalls at the 160.
Yep, that's a good average point on them. It's right around there.
And it will stall there, and you'll burn up a couple hours, and you'll go like, man, I don't know if my temperature's wrong or if this is bad or what. And then it'll go from 165 to 195 in like 45 minutes. So it's just going to take off and you're done. Do not fall asleep. You don't want to wake up and that thing's at 210. You blew it.
Yep, exactly. I'll wrap it with the butcher paper, put it back in the smoker. From that point, I'm really not checking temperature. I'm sticking the probe through there to test for the tenderness, the way the probe slides in and out of the meat. I want it to slide in and out basically like hot butter. I don't want
okay.
to feel any resistance butter. Or any fibers.
Okay, Danny, can I ask you to hold for just a minute through the break, and we want to finish
Certainly.
This conversation.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, my brother. Danny Skiff on the live line. We're going to take a break right now. It's the Grilling Guys. It's the Brisket Show.
You baby, 5150, just a saddle
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Let's pick up where we left off, Barbecue Bob. We still got Danny Skiff on the line here, and we were just about ready to finish up that brisket.
Yeah, so Mr. Skiff, my brother from another mother down in Texas. Now, Danny and I go back a bit, and like I said, we both have hot tubs in our past. We both have smokers in our past. We have very similar backgrounds, but here's one thing that this man has far surpassed me on is I used to be into karate and taekwondo. Danny's into jiu-jitsu, and you're a what level now?
It's judo, and I'm actually a fourth-degree black belt.
You're fourth-degree.
Judo.
Yeah.
So don't mess with the brisket.
No, no, because it's always these big, quiet boys like Danny that are the ones that will mess you up.
Right.
My instructor in the Air Force was fifth-degree black belt in karate, and he was a big old Texas boy, quiet like you too, and
all right.
That's dangerous.
So let's finish up this brisket.
Don't rush me. I'm talking.
I am
judo.
Rushing you. No, I'm Dutching you.
You are Dutching me. So, cutting that point. Let's pick up
where we left off. We had the brisket already through the stall. Wrap it with a pink butcher paper, and the reason I do that, it breathes. The corners of the brisket don't dry out like if I was cooking it all the way unwrapped. I still have great bark, and I don't get the texture. You know, you get kind of a crock pot pot roast texture when you wrap the brisket in foil and let it steam in the foil.
Right. So this whole butcher paper thing's come along in the last 5-6 years. I have not used it. I know Tony Courthouse, another friend of ours, Tony was one of the bad boys with us back in the day. Tony's in the competitions now, and we have Tony on from time to time, and he talks about butcher paper. I have not used it, and I'm worried about it because I'm worried about getting a dry brisket.
Yeah, I haven't had that. It is not dry like if I smoked it unwrapped. Now, I would rather, and this is just me, but I would rather have a little bit drier brisket than a steamed brisket. If I had to choose between a brisket that was cooked in foil and a brisket that was cooked unwrapped, I'd take it unwrapped and have great bark and great flavor and great texture, and the corners might be a little dry. My dog might get those bites. But with a brisket wrapped in the butcher paper, it doesn't dry out. You know, I'm cooking it maybe the last 25 degrees in the butcher paper, so it doesn't dry out any there. I still preserve that bark. And I still preserve that texture that I like about a brisket that's been cooked unwrapped.
So you're wrapping it at 170 and pulling it at 195?
That's about right. I'm usually looking to get to about 175 before I wrap, but if I stick the probe in there and it's 170, I'll say that's good enough.
And what do you pull it at?
Then I'll stick the probe in there after, you know, maybe an hour and a half, something like that, and see how tender it is. Usually, I've got it down. It'll take me one or two times of trying it to see before it's ready. I'm not necessarily looking for the temperature there. I'm looking for the tenderness. But the temperature is going to be right around 200, 195 to 200, somewhere in that range.
Right. I find that if you get over 198 to 200, it's going to go downhill from there. So I'm just always curious what other people have as a preference for that. I mean, brisket's a fussy thing. Have you ever done a braised brisket?
I have not. I haven't cooked I've cooked pork butts that way at times, making carnitas and things, but I've never done it with a brisket.
Well, carnita, that would be exactly how you do a carnita. Now, because of your judo passion, and I don't know the difference between jiu-jitsu and judo, but I assumed they were the same thing. They're apparently not. But because of your judo passion, you have a big, I connect these two. I think you have a big thing for Thai food. So how do you marry Thai food with Texas?
you know, we make our living traveling on the road all the time. I was in hotels for about 130 nights a year.
And always I can relate.
Looking for some place to eat.
Uh-huh. I love Thai food, so when I see all these Thai recipes you're doing, and we're Facebook friends, and if you're listening in, it's the Grilling Guys, and we're talking to Danny Skiff down in what part of Texas?
I'm around Carrizo Springs today.
Yeah, South Texas. He's down around the Rio Grande. He's catching immigrants coming in.
Can you see the wall?
And drilling for oil at the same time. He's talented. This guy can do hot tubs, smokers, and drill for oil. And kill people with one finger. So, you and I are both foodies and very passionate about food, but I see your Facebook posts very often, a lot of Thai food. Does that have a judo connection? Is all your judo...
He just likes Thai food,
Bob. Championships.
Give it up.
Quit trying to make the connection. But his son's into judo, and that's very much an Asian sport. I mean, it's self-defense. So in Thailand, is there a connection there with that food?
There's actually not. It would be sushi, Japanese food for judo.
So judo's Japanese?
Thai.
Okay.
Muay Thai is a striking art that's out of Thailand, but... I just like spicy food.
You just like spicy food.
Yeah, that's kind of where I thought that was going, but I wasn't
sure. Shut up, Joppy.
All right.
I found a thread there. You're just drinking beer. You're not even paying attention.
I'm drinking beer.
All right. Okay, cool. Well, Danny Skiff, thanks so much for joining us. Love hearing about Texas, and of course, you are my brother.
Always a pleasure.
All right, buddy.
Danny, thanks
so much. Now,
Danny's,
Joppy, go ahead and whack away at me.
No, it was easy. It was easy, brother. Very easy.
The dude makes so much Thai food. It's crazy.
Only because he likes it. It doesn't matter what his recreational exercise is.
Well, what do you know?
Well, I'm speculating, and evidently I was right.
You just learned how to make beans for crying out loud.
Yeah. I know what Joppy's recreational exercise is.
Yeah, me too.
My right arm is very skilled at 12 ounces at a time, right? All right.
No, but the dude is always posting all sorts of Thai recipes, and they're phenomenal. You ought to see the pictures on his Facebook page. I love Thai food. I mean, living in the Pacific for 4 years, you get exposed to a whole bunch of that.
So let's get back to brisket. Because I got a question for you.
I want to talk about Thai food.
Okay, he said 12 or 13 pound is a brisket, right? It's going to reduce while we're cooking it, so you still get 10, right? You cut the fat off, whatever. You still get 10 pounds of meat, a lot of meat. What do you do with the leftovers?
Yeah.
I mean, generally, if
leftover brisket's never been a problem anywhere that I've ever. Chaz, have you ever had a problem with leftover brisket?
It's not a problem, but what do you do with it?
Eggs.
There isn't any.
In the morning,
it just
there's eggs.
Because what it is brisket is pot roast on steroids. It's much more flavorful. It's much more tender.
I think that's a T-shirt waiting to happen.
Yeah,
I want to copyright that.
But you know, you got stews, you got sandwiches, you got tacos, all of those things, omelets.
You know what?
All of those things can be used.
It's wonderful for all sorts of things. Tacos, it is a very good thing. But nachos, it's awesome on. I freeze it. And then make that determination when the time comes, because if you want to make up some chili, for example, like we're going to be doing here today.
No, we did that last week.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wrong show.
Right. That's all right.
Frozen brisket. You pull it out, you chop it up, you throw it in your chili. It's already smoked.
Right.
You have a smoked chili without even trying.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's wonderful.
I just enjoy tacos with it. A beef taco. You know, it's not ground beef. It's chopped beef now, and it's in little cubes.
Chopped.
And it's just a different texture and that smoky flavor on there, and maybe, you know, put your little hot sauce on there, whatever you do with tacos.
I like what Jim Crank does at Cranker's Brewery.
What's that?
He uses that. He does something like he does a prime rib kind of sour cream and horseradish sauce for it. When he first said he was going to do that, we did that Fair State alum for the homecoming a couple years back.
Yeah.
And he brought his, because we went up and did a brisket class for him.
Yep.
And then he brought it with that sour cream horseradish sauce. And I'm thinking, dude, you didn't even understand barbecue. And I took one bite of it and I thought, holy cow.
You understood barbecue?
Sour cream and horseradish on brisket's awesome.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to do a little man law, maybe wrap this train up and put a little bow on it for the holidays. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Sound of an old dirt road rolling through my mind. Man, I love, man, I love, man, I love this life.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a man.
Yeah, today's man law. This is a good one, Jop. I think you'll like it. Chaz, you'll totally relate to this. If a bet is made and the challenge is completed, then the bettor may recoup his money by immediately completing a more daring challenge. If he refuses the challenge or chooses not to propose one, then and only then must the money be paid.
So double or nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Put your money where your mouth is.
It took Bob 30 words. What took Jazz 3, double or nothing. I get it, man.
I try and be brief because I want to get on the ice.
Right. Okay, let's talk a little bit of ice fishing because it's coming up, right? We're in mid-December already. It's got to be right around the corner.
It's right around the corner.
You're actually going, aren't you?
It's right around the corner, and I always like to push in a little bit of safety. You know, teach the kids early. Be smart yourself about going out there and making sure that ice is safe before you get on it. Now, Steph and I, my fishing partner, we're headed up to the National Championships in Minnesota. We're going to go up and I'm going to work it. He's going to fish it. And they've got ice. And by the time we get there, they've promised we'll be on with quads up there. Now, Michigan, we're a little bit behind that, especially here in
but it's coming.
Southwest Michigan.
It's coming.
And then we're in training for the Worlds.
Right. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Chaz is on the United States ice fishing team. And so they play this game very seriously.
It's the Olympics for ice fishing.
And so where is the where are the Worlds this year?
We're going to be in northern Kazakhstan.
Which is a Russian province?
No, it is a separate country.
Province, yeah.
It's if you leave out of Moscow and head for Mongolia, it's on the way.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
You will go or a Japanese on that one. It's a province.
Easy.
Japanese is different. They don't ice fish.
Kazakhstan, man. It's one of the stands, yo.
It's like the northern stand.
Okay, so, very cool.
Got some ISIS people there.
So we're going to go over there. We're getting really ramped up on that. That's going to be in mid-March. So
okay.
We'll be back in touch with you with some details before that. But we're off to the national championships, the NAIFC.
Yep. And I tell you what, I have the opportunity and the pleasure to fish with you several times throughout the winter, and this man knows what he's doing. But when you go to these competitions, it's not about the size. It's about how many.
Well, actually, it's total weight.
Okay.
So you keep everything.
Okay.
No matter what the size. And you got to understand, in Europe and in Eastern and Western Europe, they consume the small fish. It's nothing for them to snip the head off, strip it like we would a smelt, and throw in a pot of soup.
Yep.
And that's just normal fishing to them. A lot of their fisheries have been over-harvested because that's been a very dense, civilized part of the world for a long time. So they don't always have the luxury of the 15-inch crappie that you and I love to get here in Michigan.
Right.
And they the tradition has become keep everything on that.
Chaz from Schmoes, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, glad I could have some beers with you.
Great to have your Miracle on 28th Street. And don't forget to go to gibbq.com and check out what we're doing for the troops. That's coming up close in February or March. Jop and I will be headed out to Camp Pendleton to bring that smoker load. It's finally coming up. So we appreciate you joining us here on the show. It's thegrillingguys.com is our website. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook /thegrillingguys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy.
We appreciate you listening each and every week. We'll be back with you next week.
Now, honey, you can't blame her.